Chapter 1 is where we're going to be this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll see how far we get here. And we're going to begin with verse 2, and we'll look through most of the chapter here. What kind of mother does your child need? And so we're gathered here this morning for two primary reasons. First of all, is to worship our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then second, to honor our godly mothers. And so both are a lifetime responsibilities for us, and that is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and to honor our godly mothers. And so when he gave out the Ten Commandments, he said, honor thy father and mother. That's not just while you're in the home. That's all of your life. And so now it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to obey them today, but you are to honor them. And so we have that challenge before us today. As well, a godly wife and mother is to be honored, I think, because she's been given a difficult, if not impossible, task. I mean, look at some of us. We were probably not easy to raise. And so they were, you know, rather difficult times for them, I'm sure. And so she's got to live and raise her kids in this world by the Word of God. And so if a mom today, if she decides that I'm going to raise my kids on the Word of God, the world will tell them that they're old fashioned, you see, and that they're out of step. And however, we can see what modern moms have done to our homes today, can we not? That have set aside the Bible and turned on the TV and these things and those things as well. And homes are in a mess today because they need the kind of mother that Samuel had almost 4,000 years ago. And we need the same kind of mother today, the same kind of a mom that he had. I believe that through the life of Hannah's his mom, God gives us a wonderful example of a mother that's needed in our homes today. Let's see if we can get through these. What kind of mom and wife do we need in our homes? Does a child need? 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. I won't do verse 1 because I can't pronounce some of those names, I'll be honest. And so Elkanah, it says, and he had two wives, Elkanah did, and the name of, now that right there says they were in trouble, okay, because he had two wives. But anyway, he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his house yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. Verse 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, or a double portion is what he gave her. Notice it says, for he loved Hannah. Didn't say that about the other wife, okay? But the Lord had shut up her womb. She couldn't have children. Verse 6. And her adversary, guess who the adversary is? It's the other wife in the home. there you go. I mean, you could imagine that, right? It's like two cats or so. And anyway. yeah. And it says, her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. So you see what's going on here. Yeah. And so as he did so, year by year, he went up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her, therefore, she wept and she did not eat. And so this time she's gone, and so she's at it again, and she's telling her, "Hi, you have no children, I've got the children." And of course, Peninnah was jealous because he loved Hannah more than loved her. And so the whole family dynamics is going on. And it said then, verse 8, and then said Elkanah to her husband to her, "Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved?" Notice what he says. He says, "Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" Well, that's pretty bold, I guess. And so what we need, first of all, we see here that a mother, what we need is a mother determined to work with her husband. That's what's needed in our home. A mother that's determined to work with her husband. It is essential, I think I should point out this as well, this scripture does, that the most important earthly relationship that a mother has is to her husband. First and foremost. Because that's the relationship that she has, first and foremost, that God has put the two together. And when they get married, they become one flesh. then, you see? And so that's the most important relationship there is with the husband. But you don't see that today, but that's what Scripture says. And I'll tell you the reason why. It's because the children see the relationship between their mother and father, and it helps to shape their lives for their own marriages that to come as well. And so it's vital that these two work together in unison. And so her relationship, first and foremost, is to her husband, but it's Mother's Day. And so we're going to move on. What can you learn from Hannah and her determination about working with her husband? Notice, first of all, you need to follow the leadership of your partner. God places the leadership in the home as the husband, and so some have an issue with that, but God has ordained it. He set it forth, and so he was faithful to worship. He was faithful, as we read here, he was faithful to go every year down to the temple, and there he would worship, and he made sure, you know, that the two wives had so that they could worship as well and have to for the sacrifices and those things as well. Made sure that his family was there. He didn't just send them along and say, oh, you know, I can't go this year because I've got to do the farming. I've got to watch after the animals. And so he made sure that he was there year after year after year. Yeah, but you say, yeah, he could do that because he only had to go once a year. And so, but no, he went when he was supposed to go, and he did other times as well. But this was probably the great time of the year, the great feast by which they had. And so he provided for the material needs of the family, food and clothing, shelter. Hannah didn't have a problem submitting to the leadership of her husband because she went right along as well and sacrificed and so forth as well. You say, well, I wouldn't have a problem submitting to a husband that walked with God and worked to provide for a family and thought I was the top of the world, because it says here that he loved her. And so I wouldn't have a problem submitting to it, but I don't have a husband like that. You know, mine's, you know, such, 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 such. And so Hannah didn't have a perfect husband, though. And you know why? Because there's no such critter. There is no perfect husband. We're all sinful, are we not? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what we said, but it did not stop her from following the partner that God had given her. And so she followed under his leadership. And so she went to the services right along there as well. But there's something else that you can learn about Hannah's situation here as well. You need to forget about leaving to solve your problem. I say that, okay, because it's quite prevalent today, is it not? You know, I think if you think your relationship, you know, is just too much to bear, that the guy I'm with and, you know, the husband or even the wife, and so, you know, I just can't take it anymore. So, well, Hannah was unable to have children. And in the Old Testament, it was considered a failure as a woman not to have children. And you know, God was I'm pleased with you, you know, displeased. And she had to share the house with a husband who was also a mother, and she had children. She had sons and daughters. And so Hannah and so wanted to have children. And we'll find out in particular here in just a moment, she wanted to have a son. It was a priority. It was a desire on her heart. And we'll see why she wanted a son here in just a moment. But they went up to worship and sacrifice, and Elkanah would give Hannah a double portion. He loved her. And when he did that, then Peninnah over here on the other side, and she's got the children. And so then she would make fun of, and she would cause, you know, just a turmoil in the household, but also even while she was there to worship as well, just needling her and on, because she could sense that Samuel Elkanah, he favored her. He loved her, is what the Bible said. Didn't say that he loved Peninnah over here on this side. But she made life miserable for Hannah as well. And in fact, verse 6, and it says, and her adversary also provoked her sore, it says. And that just means on and on and on. She just wouldn't let up. And it says, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And so she was targeting that. She was focused on that. And so I've given him children. What have you done? What are you doing? And just on and on and on. And so just grief year after year, day after day in the home. And yet she was still committed or determined to work with her husband. and to follow under his leadership with all of this that's going on. So, well, she's a better person than I am. Probably with myself included, I would have to say that. You know, she's a lot better. I don't know. You know, if anyone had a cause for leaving her husband and her problems behind, it would have been Hannah. She could have been like thousands of mothers. You know, year after year, they say to her husband, I'm leaving. I'm going to find a man that'll give me his undivided attention and his love, you know, and on and on. And so today, mothers don't feel happy. They pack their bags and in search of a lawyer and a better life, and off they go. And so I'll see you later. Could this be the problem with our society today? Yes. Mothers that aren't determined to work with their husband. And so I think it could be. We have grown children today with no sense of responsibility because they watched mom and dad bail out of the responsibilities when the going gets tough. Your children need to learn about relationships from their parents. And so as they watch the two of you, what are they learning? What are they learning from you? Faithfulness, forgiveness, trust. Teach your children to work with their spouses, not walk away when the times get hard. What kind of mother does your child need? Second, a mother devoted to the worship of the God of heaven. And so I know it's not easy. It probably wasn't at that time there as well. You know, she had reason to complain and on because she maintained this right relationship with God in the home here. Hannah didn't lose her cool and lash out at the kids in the house because they weren't hers. And so she could have easily just taken it out on them like some have. And then she could have just left her husband, but she knew what to do and where to go for help. What can you learn from Hannah? Verse 10. And it says, verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. This is when she's that year, she's up there. She's heard, now remember now, she's had to have Peninnah, you know, do all the prodding and poking and ribbing and complaining and criticizing and demeaning her and so forth. And she's up here now, she's at the temple, and it says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. She's not just asking for a child, she's asking for a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Did you catch why she wants a male child? To give him to the Lord, to give him to God. That's why. Her faith was that strong. She had no children. You give me a man child, and I'm vowing right here, right now, that all the days of his life, I will give him over to you, is what she says. Wow. You need to lean on God for strength and help. That's what we can learn from Hannah. Her husband tried to help, and he asked the question in verse 8, the last part of it. He says, am not I better to thee than 10 sons? It's comparing apples and oranges, is it not? I mean, what man in the right mind would say, am I not better than your children? That's just bizarre to me to think such a thing. It's two different relationships, is it not? A mom has a special relationship with her children. Amen. And a different relationship with the husband, does she not? And so for him to say, why am I not enough for you? Because Elkanah, I have a desire for children, to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to see them worship you. That's what I desire in life. No, you're not better than 10 sons. You are my husband. We have this unity with one another, but you're not one of my children. I know some of you ladies say, well, you haven't met my husband because I'm still raising him. Hannah found no help in her husband's bank account or his big house. The only place you'll find strength to go in difficult times and situations is do as what the writer of Hebrews said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. And grace to find in time of need is what it says. And so in difficult times, what we need is to learn to lean upon the Lord for that strength and that help that we need in life. They need to hear your children. That's exactly what Hannah did here as well. No matter the age of your children, they need a mother that turns to the Bible instead of the bottle for answers to life's hurt. That's what's needed. They need to hear you asking God and thanking Him when He answers. Teach your children that the well of God's grace will never run dry for those who find their strength in Him. My wife came back from visiting. I know I'm limited on time. I need to get off these rabbit trails. My wife came back one time from visiting our children in Arkansas. And she says, you know, I could hear somebody real early in the morning. And I didn't know what in the world it was. And so I went downstairs to look and see. And there was our son-in-law at the couch, praying out loud early in the morning before he head off to work. Wow. What a testimony. What a testimony. Your children need to know that you, an adult, you know, mother with that's got all these superpowers, you know, to know what's going on even when they're not in the room, you know, and even to know what's going on behind them because they've got the eyes in the back of their head, you know, this all these things and radar and different things. And so, but even you need to lean upon the Lord. They need to know this as well. And so second, you need to forget, you need to look to God as your source of hope as well. Verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Eli's the priest. And so Eli is sitting over there in the temple, over by the post, and he's sitting, and he's watching this woman as she's praying, okay? And it says here in verse 12, and it came to pass, she continued praying before the Lord, and Eli marked her mouth. That is, he was watching her mouth, okay? And now Hannah, verse 13, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. He thought she was drunk, and there she is. And so she's so earnestly praying to God, pouring her heart out to God. And so her lips were moving and mouthing the words, but nothing was coming out. And so there she was. It was just her and God. And there she's looking to Him for her source of hope. Lord, only You can do this, and You're the only one that I need. Eli, the priest, looks over and thinks that she's drunk. He'd probably never seen anyone praying like that in the temple for quite some time. And thought, well, she must be drunk. Nobody comes in here and acts like that. She was broken before God. He was her source of hope. He was her only source of hope. Songwriter says, oh soul, are you wearied in trouble? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundantly free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Do you children know that as long as God is alive, there's hope? Because God's alive, there's always hope. One other thing you learned from Hannah, you need to live for God to show your heart. Verse 11. Notice it says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if Thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of Thine handmaid and remember me and not forget Thine handmaid, but wilt give unto Thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his hand or head. Notice in verse 11, she called herself a handmaid. A handmaid means a slave. It means a servant. God, if You do, I am Your servant. Look upon Your handmaid. She's already, He hasn't given her the child yet, but He says, but she's saying there, I'm Your servant. I'm Your handmaid. I'll do whatever it is that You ask me to do. But this is the one thing that I ask of You. If You'll do this, Lord. And so she was obedient to God's commands. That's why she was able to remain faithful during the difficult times. God was number one in her life. When God is number one in your life, there's nothing impossible that you can't conquer. things that seem impossible for you, because with God all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can endure this situation. I can go through this because God is my hope and God has my heart. And I'm going to live my life for Him. God was number one. That's why she prayed for a son. Hannah didn't want a son for herself. She didn't want to give a son because of her husband's love. She wanted a son so that she could have and raise somebody up to give to God. That's what she wanted. She wanted to live her life and give God something to serve, somebody to serve God here in this temple. Needless to say, we read about Eli's two sons, their two names there? Where are they at? But they were in the temple there. The two sons of Eli. It's right in front of me. But anyway, Eli and Hophni, Hophni and Phinehas, I'll get it, the priests of the Lord, they were corrupt. She could see that year after year. God, there needs to be somebody here at the temple. Somebody here that'll serve you. That's what's needed. That's what I want to provide. Amen. That's what I want to give you with my life. That's what I want to give. So she's showing God her heart, and so that's why she prayed for a son. We need moms and dads that not only tell their children how to live for God, but we need parents that'll show their children how to love and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ as well. You know what we want? We want them to go to college. We want them to make all the big bucks. That's what we want. How many times do we say, hey, you want to serve God? God is to come first in your life. Well, we push them often. You got to rise to the top. You know, yeah, you start at the bottom, but rise up. No, instead of you need to live your life for Christ. Whatever it is that He calls you to do, do it to the best of your ability so it will glorify God. And so that's what we need to be doing. Your children will worship, work, and walk with the Lord primarily the same way that you do in life. If He's a priority in your life, they will follow that example as well. Teach your child by example to devote their lives to the God of heaven. If you don't place a priority in your life on God on Monday, don't be surprised if little Johnny doesn't live for God on Tuesday, because they'll follow your example as well. What kind of mother does your child need? Verse 19. And so y'all listening quick today. And it says, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to the house of Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. You know what that means? She's going to have a baby. That's what that means. In verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord, it says. And then verse 21, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice in his vow. But Hannah went not up. She didn't go this year. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Verse 23, and Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, or do what seems to be right in the eyes of the Lord, is what he said. Tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his work. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. We'll stop right there. And so a mother dedicated to the welfare of her home is what's needed. God blessed Hannah with a son, named him Samuel. The word Samuel means God is heard and God hears our prayers. Amen. God answered her prayer because it was in line with His word and His will. A godly woman determined to work with her husband and to worship the true God of heaven will be dedicated to the welfare of her home. What can we learn from Hannah? Your love needs to be proven to your children first and foremost. Your love needs to be proven to your children. From an early age, Samuel knew that his mother loved him. Now, she's getting ready to take him up to the church house and drop him off and say, I'll see you every year when I come back. Basically, that's what she was saying. But During the time that she had him and she weaned him, during that time she nurtured him and loved him, and there was no doubt that he knew that she loved him with all that she had in life. And you know, that's the way it is in our lives as well. We must raise our children to a certain point in life to go out into the world knowing that we love them, that your mom and dad love you with all that we have within us, and we are rooting for you. We are praying for you. We want to be an encouragement to you as well. And we're here for you, regardless of what happens in your life. And so here's what we find as well. She proved her love with her presence, not presents under the tree or toys in the toy basket, those type of things. You know, when it was time to worship, she didn't go. Well, was she putting her son before the Lord? That happens a lot in our day today. Children get placed before the Lord, especially when it comes to sports and those type of things as well, and activities that are always land on Wednesdays. And, you know, Wednesday night, we always went to church, you know, and Sundays, you know, and that's a good day to have, you know, sports and this and that and the other. God will understand. She wasn't putting God, or she wasn't putting her son before the Lord. She was serving God by taking care of what God had given to her. Today, that would be like a mother who chose to stay home from work and raise her kids until it was time for them to move out of the house and out into the world. We have far too many parents that are sacrificing kids to the almighty dollar instead of to the Heavenly Father. That's part of our problem today. Your kids don't want toys. They want your time. They need moms who will give them hugs, and so that when their life gets difficult and times it get hard, they won't turn to drugs. They'll remember mom's hugs. And if mom is still there, mom will give me that hug. They'll remember their mother's love that told them that you are someone special in life. What can we learn from Hannah? Not only do we see that your love needs to be proven to your children, but it also your life needs to be a priority for your children as well, especially while they're in the home. Being a mother is an important ministry. It's a calling of God. Don't take it lightly, especially in this day in which we live today. You know, I was thinking about that growing up, you know, and I know I'm out of time. Growing up, you know, we would, summertime especially, we were out of school, and we'd go running out the door, you know, when the sun was up and off, we'd go, and we romped around in the hills and, you know, threw rocks and sticks and chased one another and hid from one another, and we did all of those things. You know, when it was getting dark, and mom would holler out for us, time to come home, and we'd all go running back in the house, you see. We didn't have iPhones and iPads and all those Xboxes and all those other alphabet things, you know, and so we didn't have all of that stuff, and so I don't know where I was going with that. We knew that mom was there, and she was a priority. We were a priority in her life. And so moms are usually the ones that look after the material things of their kids as well. She's usually the one that has to stretch the family budget that includes shoes and school supplies. And mom usually does without a lot of times, just so that they can have it. Like Hannah, you're to be a mother committed to meeting your child's physical and material and emotional needs. But don't go overboard as well. There's this fine line there as well, you know, to giving them everything that they want to not giving them anything at all, you see, and not making any sacrifices, just but to make sure that their needs are met. And so it's a fine line mom has to walk there. Oftentimes it means giving up what they really wanted to do, like sleep. That's what a mom does. She sacrifices with a baby that's got the colic, you know. We used to call it colic. I don't know what they call it anymore. But all night long, you know, she would sit up and rock and do what needs to be done. And often, you know, after Hannah took Samuel to the temple, she would make him a new robe year after year after year. Every year that she came, she just made him a robe year after year for his service is what he used it for as well. And so it wasn't expensive, but it met his needs. And then finally, we see the Lord needs to be presented to your children as well. Verse 24. And it goes on to say, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, very young. And she slew the bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. She gave him over to the Lord. You know, there comes a time in our life as well, when it's usually when they graduate high school or maybe on to college and then after that as well. You know, but we need to realize that's usually when we give them over to the Lord at that time. Dare I say, we ought to give that child over to the Lord, dedicate that child to God right off the bat. And realize that God is, she says, "I have lent him to the Lord." Actually, God lends them to us, does he not? So that we only have them for a short period of time. Best case, or at least 18 years, and then it goes on sometime after that, and then we won't talk about the returns, you know, the rebounds when they come back, you know, and the door swinging the other way again. And that's another message. But for the time that we have them, Hannah kept her vow. She brought her son to God. Not only are you to live your life for the Lord, but you should be the one that presents Jesus Christ to them as well. No, that's why I bring them to church. No, it is a parent's responsibility to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he died on Calvary's cross and how they buried him and he rose again the third day. And if you cry out to him for the forgiveness of sin, you can be forgiven. You can have eternal life, and it's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the mom, the dad's job. Grandma, grandpa's job is not necessarily the church's job. Never underestimate the power of a godly mother. Samuel went on to be a great man in the Old Testament for God. He had a godly mother that was determined to work with her husband. She was devoted to worshiping God, and she was dedicated to the welfare of her home. No doubt, something that young Samuel, who went on to live in the temple, would never forget. What are you doing to give your child a solid foundation on which to build their life as well? Stand with me. The lesson Hannah had is simple. Give your children over to God. But before you do that, you need to ask yourself if you have given yourself to God as well. Because you see, we're reminded in Scripture that God gave His Son too. For us. For you and I. Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, what love in giving over the child. The best thing you can do for your child is to give yourself to Jesus. If you've not done that, today's a great day. And if you have, next thing you need to do is to share Jesus with them. Make sure that you're living out your life as an example and that you are teaching and telling them about Jesus. You say, "Well, I don't want to influence them." Well, you better, because somebody in this world is going to. Somebody in this world is going to, and you may not like what they're teaching. Teach them about Jesus. Make that commitment today. I'm going to work with my spouse. I'm going to serve God with all of my life. Children, grandchildren, they're going to be a priority in my life, making sure they know I know about Jesus and making sure they too know about the Jesus that I serve. This altar is open. You want to come and just pray and say, "God, help me. Help me to be the best mother I can, father that I can, grandmother, grandfather that I can, these children that are under my influence." Then you come and you respond today. Maybe you just want to come and say, "Lord, thank you for the moms and dads that I have." Maybe you just want to come and receive Christ as Savior. You do what God is calling you to do today. What song are we going to sing? God's speaking to your heart, then you come. God, I can hear you speaking to my heart today. I don't want to leave here the same way I came in. God speak into your heart, then you come. God speaking to your heart. Will you come? Lord, there's need some home improvement done in our home. Today, that's what I want to start. I want to start that home improvement. It begins with me. I need to improve my relationship with you, to get back into your word, to living the life that I find in your word, that I know that you've called me to. Why not come home today? Lord, I've not been doing what I should. I know that. You're speaking to my heart. I want to come find forgiveness. I want to come find strength and hope. Maybe there's a mother, a child that you need to come and pray for as well. God's speaking to your heart. We'll sing one more verse. If no one comes, then we'll close. We have one down front now. Make that decision today. Pour your heart out to God today. No one comes, we'll close. Sing the last verse. God's at work in our midst. Let Him work. Amen.